Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Today is the 25th of February, 2024, and we're now on the second Sunday in Lent. It's good to have you back, or if this is the first time of you tuning in, welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace on CJMQ. My name is Nigel Parker, minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke. We gather on Sunday mornings at 10:30 at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville, and you'd be welcome to join us in person. If you can't manage that, follow us online through Facebook or YouTube, or find your way to a lively fellowship of the Lord's people where you may praise him and hear his word and be of service. Here are words from Psalm 22. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honour him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help.
Jesus shall reign wherever the sun does his success.
Let us pray. Faithful God, who fulfilled the promises made to the generations before us, thank you for your grace. May everyone tell of your goodness and mercy. Generous God, we praise you for your gracious presence with us throughout the years and for sending Jesus Christ to deliver us from all manner of injustice and inequalities. Thank you for the love you have revealed through him and for how you have granted us by his death and resurrection victory over the sin that is in us and is in the world. We praise you for inviting us to be part of your family, for reaching out to us when we have wandered from the path. Be with us this day as we worship you and listen to your word. Grant that we may be renewed in body and spirit, that we might more worthily serve and adore you. Forgiving God, we do not readily open our hearts to others who are different from us. We want to follow the example set by Jesus to love everyone, but we are scared of the unknown and scared that we might lose ourselves. We fail so often to share your unconditional love with others. Forgive us, Lord, and remind us of Jesus' sacrificial love for us and for all humanity. Strengthen us where we are weak, that we may faithfully respond to your call to love one another as you have loved us. Make us channels of your peace and people who will build your kingdom of love and justice. As people of faith, we are the children of Abraham and part of the family of God, covered by his grace in Christ Jesus and his cross that has set us free. Let us give God thanks that we have received rescue and deliverance through the resurrection of Jesus. Gracious God, your word instructs us how we live and how we should grow in relationship with all that you have made. Open our hearts to receive your word of grace, and may your truth lead to our freedom. May your word help us to strive for justice and peace for all people, and set us on fire with love for you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, at verse 27. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Amen.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Recently, a bridge in the middle of Sherbrooke City was repaired and renovated, and the road system all around it reordered. And all seems well. All the measurements came together and it fitted together just as it was intended. The prefabricated sections all aligned in just the right way to carry the road and bear the weight. I'll come back to bridges in a moment. I mentioned last week that our midweek fellowship at St. Andrew's Church, we're looking at Mark's Gospel. It's the shortest gospel, but even so, we're charging through at 100 kilometres an hour to get through 16 chapters in 12 weeks. His favourite word is immediately, as soon as, straight away. And the story runs from one incident to another. As one commentator said, this is a gospel on steroids. And as we've gone through the first chapters to chapter 8, the question keeps coming back out of the text. Who is this Jesus? In chapter 2, the question is asked, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Or in chapter 4, the disciples were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is Jesus? That's the question, spoken and unspoken. The gospel stories were not written to tell us little fables or morality tables and proverbs of life, nor to be lucky dip boxes that we can pull out a favourite verse of the day for. They were written to tell us who is Jesus. As I said, recently a bridge in the middle of Sherbrooke had been repaired and renovated. There was a pedestrian footbridge in Aberdeen, where I lived before Canada, that was built over a busy city street. It was prefabricated in a yard outside the city and brought in by low loader, closing off the streets along the way. But when they offered up the span to the foundations of the bridge, they found that it didn't fit. It was out by 5 centimetres or so. None of the bolt holes lined up. None of the seals were in the right place. The passage in Mark's Gospel I read today is just about halfway through the Gospel, the central point. And it's the point on which the whole of Mark's Gospel aligns and fits together. Who is Jesus? And Peter answers, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." Peter says that Jesus was the anointed one, the one whom God sent from God to do God's work in the world. Everything else in the Gospel has been leading up to this confession, and everything else in the Gospel that comes after flows from it. What is it that flows from this confession? Verse 31, "Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again." If you dip into the Gospel hoping to find a word which will instantly tell you whether to buy a new car or change a job or get married or what have you, you will be disappointed. Of course, the scriptures do contain wisdom for life, but the Gospels, the Jesus stories, were written that we might know who Jesus is. And if we know who Jesus is, then we will understand that he came for the cross. The heart of Jesus' life was his death. The best that he would do was to die the worst of deaths. The cross is the point of alignment in his life. In older times, bridges were simply basic arches, and the most important stone was the stone in the middle, where the two sides of the arch would meet, the keystone, the load-bearing stone. Jesus also put a keystone into the lives of all those who follow him. Just as he was to die, so he said to those who would come after him, "If anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me." While in some parts of the world, people are being done to death because of their faith in Jesus, because of their belief in the liberating word of God, but most of us listening here are not called upon to make that kind of sacrifice. What does it involve for us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus? It involves whether or not we choose things on the basis of what is convenient and easy and self-serving, or on the basis of what is right and good and loving. To take up one's cross here means to forget one's own opinions about things and about people, to forget one's own righteousness and goodness, and to do what Christ would have done, to do what he did on the way to the cross, and take into his arms all the lost and lonely little ones and to bless them. It sounds so simple. Yet it can be that living for Jesus can be even harder to do than to actually die for Jesus. It's easy to go along with what others are saying, or to let it go by for the sake of their so-called friendship. It's easy to save your own life. All you have to do is go with the flow. But the way of the cross is, by and large, much harder. For it's a way that contradicts the easy way of the world, a way that often earns us the hatred of those who are evil, and calls down upon us the hostility of those who do not like the light to shine upon their acts. The way of choosing to deny oneself is difficult, because our self is reluctant to die, reluctant to allow the life of God to be born in us, to grow in us, to flourish in and through us. Reluctant to trust that God can and will work a wonderful work in us when we follow his path. And yet, this is the keystone to following Jesus. "If anyone would come after me, let them take up their cross."
stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. That old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay. Cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross someday for a crown. Yes, I'll cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a
Let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, for in an everlasting covenant you have promised to be our God throughout all generations. You called into existence things that did not exist, the universe and all that inhabits it. In your Son Jesus, You showed your compassion for the afflicted and taught us that real life is found by those who lose their life for your sake and for the gospel. He was rejected by the religious leaders and killed, but 3 days later you raised him from the dead as Lord. And now you justify all who put their faith in you through him, counting it to us as righteousness and promising us the full riches of your grace when Christ comes in glory. God of grace and mercy, in a month that is marked by many as Black History Month, we come as a broken and sinful people before your throne, thanking you for your grace. There is so much for people of African descent to fear as we live in these days, for the trauma of the transatlantic slave trade still vivid in many contexts across the world. The legacy of slavery still exists in many ways and systems here in North America. And we pray that we will be bold enough to speak out against oppression as we seek to reflect your glory. May we, enlightened by the light of Christ, rebuke the tyranny and lies of racism and white supremacy. Lord, there are many of so many races who are downtrodden by inequality and justice. We pray for a better society for all people, where the dividing walls are broken down, giving way to the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. May the choices we make help to liberate all people, especially those who live on the fringe and on the edges, held captive by inequality and injustice. We bring before you the peoples of the world who struggle with poverty, food insecurity, lack of clean water and proper resources to aid their survival. Places like South Sudan, Central America, and other places where the most vulnerable are being exploited and enslaved. We pray for peace and justice and equality that only you can give through your grace. And now we pray together in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.